her discretion. His advice. Adam Carolla and Dr. Pierre. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Coast to coast.
Woo-hoo. More than coast to coast, right?
True, you still feel like an ugly teen, no matter how far the show expands. You still feel like an unattractive, awkward teenager, don't you?
No matter what.
Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191, Dr. Drew, board certified physician.
Now no, it's just like, you guys seem like teenagers.
Yeah.
Your voices are like old.
Yeah. Board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Eric Balfour is our guest tonight. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, you pronounced that excellently.
Thank you. That'll be the last time.
Fascinating.
Eric, I got to be up front. Last night, we had Jamie Kennedy in here, who does the Jamie Kennedy project on our experiment.
That was on project.
On WB. It was the best show on WB, and I've never seen it. And tonight, someone has got two great shows that I've never seen that all I hear is what a great show they are. And I probably don't want to see them now because I would be disappointed. Eric does 6 Feet Under, which is on HBO and starting its second season on Sunday, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing, I think...
And 24, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
I mean, I'm not the first to tell you this, but everybody I talk to about 6 Feet Under says it's just a spectacular show,
and I
still have not seen it.
Huge article on TV Guide coming up next week.
Yeah, I heard. Well, you know, there's nowhere else on television where you can see an 80-year-old man's dead erect penis.
Oh, really?
Oh, and then
erection?
And then a lot of nice jokes blown out of it.
Yeah.
Realistic.
Realistic, rigor mortis, old
No, no,
penis
realistic
jokes?
In terms of how the people conduct themselves who are caring for the body.
Yeah. It's actually pretty interesting. That part wasn't funny. My grandmother passed away earlier this year. And in the middle of the funeral, the funeral director thought it would be appropriate to tell me how much he enjoys the show and how wonderful he thought it was as we're all mourning my grandmother.
Oh, my God.
So,
a new episode right there.
I know, right?
At least he had a funeral. My grandfather passed away a couple of years ago, and my grandmom's in the Neptune Society, which basically means it's the cheapest funeral humanly possible. I mean, it's literally a service. It's like $400. The guy from the Neptune Society shows up in like his own station wagon.
Captain Ned Heed?
Captain Ned from the Neptune Society. Yeah, so he's got a peg leg and a patch over his eye, and he's salty. No, he shows up. You know, my grandfather dies about 2 a.m. You make the phone call. These guys must have some kind of pager. They show up about 4:30. They walk in. They look around. They make sure there's no bloody candlestick lying around anywhere. And then they just take them.
It's like fast food funeral.
Yeah, and you give them $400. You take their word for it that they cremated them and then scattered his ashes over the open sea.
You know, off of Georgia.
Right.
At my grandfather's funeral, only because he's an Orthodox Jew, and the casket was this plain pine box.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect it. And so when I got there, all I could think was, you cheap.
Yeah, they're even cheap in death, the Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why bury what's essentially a baby grand piano? Why not throw the guy in a cardboard box? At least they're not chopping him up and putting him in like old shoe boxes or...
At least not yet.
That's nice. No, I like the pine thing, too. You got a velvet-lined casket.
At least alder or a nicer working wood, something.
Yeah, well, I'm not a big fan of burying nice wood products, because I used to be a cabinet maker, and it breaks my heart to see something nicer than something I've ever built before get dumped in the ground and a bunch of soil poured on it. But Eric is also on 24, which airs on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock on Fox. This also is a show that is supposed to be spectacular.
Thank you.
Which is better?
Which is better? Wow. I don't think I can legally answer that question without risking my career. So they're both really good. Actually, no, neither one is very good at all.
I like 6 Feet Under.
For real, fan, huh? Mm-hmm. Watch the show.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to start.
It's easy to TiVo it.
But you know what's hard? It's hard to get on with new shows that are good because good shows are less accessible sometimes.
10 minutes, you're in.
Really?
It has some weird moments. You got to kind of be...
You have to be prepared. You have to be open to it.
Yeah, but if you hang 10, 15 minutes, you're in. Two shows, you're completely in.
I saw the very end of the episode tonight where the guy was jogging and he saw, like, his dad on a bus that was pulling away. I don't know if it was his dad.
Oh, I think that was actually the pilot episode.
Was that the pilot?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
They re-aired
them all week long, multiple times.
But you're in two TV shows that are essentially shot like movies, features, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm breaking the news. I'm about to start a third, too.
Yeah, well, it says you're currently doing a pilot on ABC.
Yeah, it's called Veritas.
And what's that about?
Well, Veritas is the Latin word for the truth. And the show is basically like a millennium version of Indiana Jones, maybe. It's about archaeologists.
And who are you? Are you?
I play an archaeologist.
Indiana?
No, I'm not Indiana. I actually don't even know who Indiana is yet. I just found out yesterday that I'm going to be doing it. So.
And what kind of show is it?
It's an hour drama, you know, that's about archaeologists who are trying to come up with a new theory of where civilization started, and governments and churches and entities.
And everyone's getting angry?
Yeah, nobody likes the idea of us messing with the rationalized theories of what's going on in the world.
I think the church doesn't like that creationism stuff about as much as the government doesn't like the UFO thing.
Right. Yeah.
They both look at it as extremely threatening to whatever it is they're trying to keep in line. And I don't know if UFOs exist, but if they did, I'm sure the government would not be terribly excited about it. Because, how long would you keep paying taxes and stopping at four-way stop signs if you knew there was someone floating around out there keeping an eye on you?
Well, especially when they don't have to obey the laws.
Yeah.
They can't get a parking ticket. Why should I?
Absolutely. All right, Drew's in here hawking his daughter's cookies.
Yes, Girl Scout cookies. Yeah.
We bought three boxes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What do you got in there,
Drew? Actually, I got there.
You got anything with peanut butter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like peanut butter.
You got to get a little ale in. Dosey-dos. There you are.
I don't like these ones.
Oh, it's for a good cause.
Well, first off, this one has a donkey on the cover, Drew. Mm-hmm. You know my rule about buying dessert with donkeys on the cover?
Ole Ole's. The Ole Ole's are really good. These things.
I don't know. That's like a cotton ball. I ate one of those. I hacked up a fur ball.
You have Dosey-dos. They're good.
Anyway. Angela?
Hey.
Hey, you're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
I just wanted to know, like, how effective are condoms against, like, pregnancy and stuff?
About 80... What's wrong with my mic? Do you hear that?
Someone's out.
About 88%.
You're freaked out about my mic. Wait, yeah. Eric, lean forward on your mic. Maybe Anderson has potted up your mic and then screwing Tom's mic up.
It was hers. All right.
All right. Let's
finish talking to her.
Angela, no cussing, screwball. Okay.
Why? What's the matter? What's happening?
I'm 2 weeks
late. Did you have a condom break?
No, none of them ever, and he pulls that every time.
Was it a latex condom?
Yeah.
Speak up. Would you answer them?
Okay,
we hear you.
Yeah.
All right, so if you are not known to have had a problem with it, it's less likely to be pregnancy. Certainly you should get a pregnancy test just to see. But
no, I did, but like, why am I late then?
Well, who knows?
People miss their periods all the time, Angela. Yes, indeed. The most
bad Chinese food can cause
you're upset about the change in the weather. But the fact is that, yes, indeed, the most common reason for what we call oligomenorrhea, or missing your periods, repeatedly especially, would be pregnancy. But just missing one or being late, that's a common thing.
Yeah, and also the thing about the condoms being 80% effective, it may be a little higher than that.
But 88.
Oh, you said 88?
Uh-huh.
I said about 80.
I didn't hear the S word. So.
Okay. So we're even. Oh, but here's the deal. The reason for that is when they break, when they don't put them on properly, when they slip off. But none of those things happen. So you're higher than 88%. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, what's with the little girl voice? Anyone molest you?
No.
All right.
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
All right.
Come in and give me a hug.
How about you get on some birth control?
I hear it makes you fat.
Listen, there are many different pills to choose from.
You got an eating disorder here.
Yeah. Pregnancy makes you
fat,
too.
No, I just don't like get fat. I'm not joking.
Well, that's the point. Adam is saying, why do you have such an obsession about this that you wouldn't take something to prevent a...
Because I used to be fat and I didn't like it. I don't like fat people.
Okay. You got over-domineering mom?
A little bit, yeah.
Pain in the ass?
Yeah, you know, she's one of those Koreans. They're crazy.
Called you fat, Majin? Oh.
You go to Wooleok a lot with your family?
What?
Never mind.
Are you
Korean restaurant?
Are you Korean?
I'm half, yeah.
You know what's funny? Hold on a second. I got to talk about you and your nationality. Makes me uncomfortable when they can talk back. You know, because when you're making sweeping stereotypes, you never want that person to actually chime in and ruin your vibe. But we talked to, I thought she was a white chick who was possibly tampered with young because she had that sort of little girl subservient voice.
Right.
But a lot of Asian women come out that way. I mean, that's the culture they're in. So they sound like little girls and sort of subservient. And if they were white, you'd think they were molested. Mm-hmm. But they're...
Asian,
to be fair,
that's the
culture.
To be fair, white and Hispanic.
I'm half white.
Right, okay. All right, so your mom's pain in the ass?
Yeah, dude, she would kill me.
Koreans are tough, right?
Oh, my God, I swear she's from the north. I swear to God.
They, like, punch you, right?
Oh, no, she doesn't punch me, but, like, she's just crazy.
Okay, she got a temper?
Oh, God.
There's no, like, communist memorabilia running around your house, is there?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay, oh, that's good.
Well, she's been so brainwashed, she wouldn't know it. Is this Margaret Cho? Be honest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's Margaret Cho.
Is she sorry to hear about the cancellation of the show.
Yeah, me too.
Is she a hero to you, Margaret Cho?
No, I think she's fat.
All right, baby. She's one of your own.
Well, the hell with her.
All right.
Listen, Angel, there are many different birth control pills out there. Not all of them make you fat. Pregnancy makes you fat. All right?
Koreans, the meanest of all Asian cultures, would you say?
Does that count as racial profiling?
What I just said?
Yeah.
No, it's the truth.
Okay.
It's always the truth when I say it. It's racial when other people say. Yeah, like when there's a riot around here, they're up on the roof with the guns. They're not, like, the Jews are worried about life and limb. They're getting the hell out of Dodge, right? Koreans are up on the
roof.
Well,
they're protecting our investments as well.
Right. And are you Jewish?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're smart.
Understand.
You're pragmatic.
No, I'm.
How much money are you going to make if someone puts a slug in your head?
Exactly.
But they're on the roof of the building. Shooting at the folks that are all the Irish who are rioting. I decided to do an anti-stereotype there and see if it made anyone think and then realize that they're racist. You see how that works?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's interesting. Rick?
Yes.
You're 28?
Yes, how you doing?
What's up?
Well, just really quick, I'm a big fan of 24.
Oh, thank you.
And your guest, who exactly do you play on that show?
I play Milo.
Okay.
The little computer hacker.
I got you. Okay.
Very disappointed.
I'm not
Keeper. So you're not actually.
Of course, Keith or Sutherland, everybody knows who that is. But
yeah.
Dude, you're not 24, dude, yourself?
Yeah, no.
So, whatever.
Another thing I'd like to say, big fan of the show for a long time, but also I don't hear too many people complimenting you on the book.
Our book?
Yes, your book.
Wow, how did you come across that?
And, well, I bought it 3-4 years ago, and I think it's excellent. I really...
You know, when I go out and speak, I still...
Hold on. I think I finish his goddamn compliment.
All right.
Go ahead, Rex.
I'm talking about Adam and Drew's book.
Yes, thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, not my book, either.
No, I didn't know you wrote one.
No,
I'm sorry. I'll have to check in.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Eric wrote a book called Why Don't I Have a Bigger Part in 24?
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, Drew... You can tell some long-winded
boring. No, just when I got speaking around the country, I run into easily 100 of those books.
You're right.
Yeah. Every time.
How much money have you got from that, Drew?
Zero.
Thank you. All right, Rick, what's your question?
Well, I'm a little freaked out about this. I woke up about a month ago, and I had some blood in the front of my underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what the problem is. I went and I made a couple appointments with my doctor,
mm-hmm.
and they said that there is blood in my urine.
Okay.
I don't see blood in my urine when I urinate. I have no painful feelings or anything like that when I go, and I'm just really concerned about it. They sent me for an IVP test,
good,
and that came up perfectly normal.
Okay, now you need a cystoscopy.
And what
so the urologist looks up in there.
You don't find it ironic that the urine test has the word P? Has a letter P right in it?
Urine has P in it?
No, the IVP test.
No, intravenous pyelogram. Yeah,
it's for kidney stones.
They shouldn't go with the P.
It's not a P test. It's actually something shooting into your vein that lights up your kidneys.
Yeah, and you have to clear yourself out the night before, and it's a really wonderful experience.
Well, it's better than the way they used to do it, the flashlight up the ass. It's old school.
So, there's the right thing, getting the IVP. Now you got to have probably a cystoscopy. Whether or not you have, whether you continue to have blood in the urine or not is really not the issue. It's that you have had it and it needs to be explained. So until they've figured out why you have it, you got to keep going through this workout.
If nothing else, it's first date material for sure.
The blood in the urine?
Yeah.
You mean conversation?
Yeah, I think that always goes over pretty well.
It does, because women, they want to fix.
Yeah, they're nurturing. They're nurturing.
And it's like your penis is broken, so it kind of works your dork in to the conversation, too, which is nice.
Yeah, well, they want to fix, but they're not much into body fluids.
No, that's true. You may have a point. I should have never... I used to always speak about that carbuncle I had on my rectum.
Yeah, because it has pus on it.
Yeah. Well, I learned my lesson. But Drew didn't learn his lesson about turning his pager to vibrate. Well, we don't know that, do we, Drew? Because to me, it just seems like your pager goes off once every couple months.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt?
Yeah.
You 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. So, like, me and my friend have this bet. And it was pretty much the who could get head first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was telling one of my friends online about it. And I don't meet her online or anything. I know her. And she's like, oh, well, you know, I'll do you a favor. We'll do it.
How old is she?
She's 14.
And you're 14.
Yep.
All right. Now, how long into the bet is this?
About 2 months.
I did this when I was 14, the exact same bet. My friend got it at like 14 and like
you got it
6
like,
months. I was 28.
Oh, that's a good place to 32.
No. No, yeah. Only about 13 and a half years off of him.
That's good.
Yeah.
What did he win?
He won, he won a BJ.
That's what I figured.
That was his payday. All right, so Matt, she's going to help you out.
Yeah, but then she's like, well, you know, if I do you a favor, you need to do me a favor. And so I'm like, all right. She's like, you know, I want you to eat me out. So I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. So she's like, okay, whatever.
You said you don't want to do that?
And Matt, have you ever had a blowjob?
No, it's my first time.
Oh, okay, so that's why you're not as going to go. Okay, I understand that.
I
think you should reconsider that.
Yeah, I can't believe you don't want to trade this out. I mean, you would have traded that out in your day, Drew, am I right? Hell yeah, you do it today. All right, so Matt.
Yeah.
I like Matt because, you know, Matt's like one of these guys who doesn't mind getting on the internet so he can rustle up a BJ, but not going down on a chick. Well, please, you've offended his delicate sensibilities at this point.
Is this girl someone you know from school?
Yeah.
And you're in New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
I'd kind of rather not say.
But, I mean, how are you getting this show in New Hampshire?
Oh, it's on Rock 101.
Okay. All right.
Drew, you know how much affiliates must love that?
Well, there's a new affiliate, then.
All right.
Brand new.
You guys have been on quite a while over here.
There you go, Drew. They're going to make a promo out of this. Hey, they didn't know they were on our station. Hey, so...
Thank you for notifying us, by the way.
So, Matt...
Yeah.
All right, so you're not going to do it because you don't want to go down on her.
Well, no, she's, like, okay with it, but I'm not sure because...
No, you're not okay with it.
Well, yeah, because, like, we got to do it behind a dumpster at the movie.
Oh, please. Who says you got to do it behind the dumpster?
That's the only place you could find?
Yeah, pretty much, because one of my friends did it behind there, so you kind of, like, cut it in the middle of the movie and...
All right, man, just don't do this. Don't do it. You're not ready for this. You're making bad judgments. You're all over the place with it. This poor girl has just been completely objectified, and God knows what's up with her.
You can only get your first blowjob once, too.
Yeah, get it later. Get it later. Take your time. It doesn't sound like it's going to be anything you're going to particularly enjoy anyway out by the dumpster.
Yeah. It's quite romantic, isn't it?
Isn't there a song?
Yeah.
Something out there.
Yeah. Down by the slop. Oh, yeah. On her knees on a cardboard box is where I was blown out by the dumpster. Out on a box, out on the dumpster. She blew my out on the dumpster. Right?
You are right.
On her cardboard box.
Out on the dumpster.
Okay. You know this is going to be the first song in Tenacious D's new album.
Drew, I mean, what's up? What's up there?
She blew your what?
I said it plural, like with an X. I didn't say it with a CK. It's okay.
It was rhyming with box.
I was rhyming with a box. Wow. Hey, how do you don't spell box B-O-C-K, do you?
B-O-C-K-X?
No, that would be Bach.
Right. Yeah, you spell it with an X.
You can rhyme with socks whenever you want.
Right.
Sweet, go ahead.
No, you can't rhyme with sucks because it doesn't end with an X. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but just for the sake of the song, it's S-U-X.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and
so rhyme things with S-U-X.
You not seen the sheet music? All right. Where were we?
Right.
I want to ask a plead for Matt. And Matt?
Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're in New Hampshire, and a lot of folks out that way move out to California at one point or another.
Yeah.
Please stay in New Hampshire. Okay?
All right.
All right. Yeah. And now...
What's that, Matt?
I'm going to give him my
card. Wait, he was done asking something.
No. Right. You need to talk to him enough, please.
All right.
All right. Where were we?
Ryan.
Ryan. Yeah, Eric was noting that you can only get your first blowjob once. I don't mean to poke holes in your theory, but your second blowjob you can only get once, too, if you really, really think about it, all the way up to infinity, pretty,
yeah,
much,
no,
pretty
no, no.
much.
That's true.
Ryan.
That does blow a hole in my theory.
Beg your pardon.
No pun intended.
Ryan.
Am I on?
Yes,
yeah.
Okay, I just want to say it's a great honor to talk to both of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is great. Anyway, my problem is 2 weeks ago, I was caught in a car with my former girlfriend having sex. We were both completely naked. And a cop pulls up, and, you know, we get caught, and he phones both of our parents.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a real burden, I guess.
Now, and she, how old was she?
She was 17.
And you were 16.
Yeah.
This is absolutely why I couldn't be a cop. He's not in a million years. Some teenage kid trying to get his dork wet in the back of the Impala, you know. You see him there, you just see that look of fear in his eyes. He's almost just begging for his life, and you're like, nah, I'm going to call it in.
Yeah, I was pleading. I would have done anything.
What was his thing? What did he say to you? Usually they give you some, like, I'd like to, but you're endangering someone or something.
Yeah, and then what was traumatic about the whole thing is, like, he pulled up, and I didn't see him until he's trying to flashlight in the door. And so he's like,
he how long was he watching for before he finally saw the flashlight?
He got
I don't know. I don't. Yeah, I have no idea exactly. Like, I saw in the corner of my eye, I saw his flashlight. Okay, so the traumatic thing about this whole ordeal was that he opens the door. He's like, get out of the car. And so, you know, we were completely naked. And so we hop out of the car. And he first of all, he pulls my ex-girlfriend out of the car. Like, he touched her. And I didn't think that was right. But, you know, we're both naked, and that was humiliating. And he goes, stand back, I want to search the car for weapons.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
So you're totally naked?
In the middle of the street.
And your girlfriend's totally naked?
Mm-hmm.
Are people driving by?
No.
You start doing that speech from Full Metal Jacket, this is my weapon, this is my gun, this is for fighting, this is for fun?
No.
And,
get out, next time. Come back.
I was waiting for Anderson to drop that one in there. Hey, hey, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay, so were you somewhere? Where were you?
Like, it's a secluded part of our town. Like, I never would have guessed that anybody would have driven by.
You just parked on a street.
Well, it was like, you know how, like, people park, like, make out and crap like that?
Yeah, you just... Yeah. Hold on. Where's my teenage retard dictionary here, Drew? I've got to find out how that worked.
That's cold.
So, but listen, you were just parked making out, and you got into it. And he called your folks, and did they show up? Did they come out to the car?
Well, my house was closer, so, yeah, my mom came out there. After about, it had been about 20 minutes, and then...
Were you still undressed at this point?
I had my pants on.
No, he wouldn't get back there. So what's your question?
Just lately, like within the past 2 weeks, I've got aroused maybe once. That's not normal for me at all.
Well, you're having sort of post-traumatic stress reaction.
Yeah. I'll be watching you.
That's normal. I'd be surprised if you don't get depressed. And God knows, we haven't heard what the parents' reactions were yet. Or what. And he said it's his ex-girlfriend now, meaning they probably broke up over this thing. I mean, no wonder the guy's having a reaction.
Yeah.
He was really, truly traumatized.
Yeah, that's a rough, that's, I mean, that's a rough experience all the way around.
Cool. Look, I said, I'm in enough trouble with the cops, but I don't want to bother. I want them to stop criminals. I'm not interested in this part of the policing. And I know it's not their fault. Well, it kind of is, actually. But it's the higher-ups' fault. But it's the street guys,
too. Oh, they
too.
Still have the option of, you know...
That's what I'm saying. Scare the crap out.
Crime,
scare him. Scare the guy.
Fine.
Yes, that's right. Consensual crimes.
They're pussies.
True, please. Yeah, give the guy a tap on the window with the flashlight, scare the crap out of him, turn the rollers on the squad car, watch him scurry to get his pants on. Oh, lob some tear gas into the back seat, draw your weapon, and put a few slugs into his lower extremities. Lower, always lower. But don't call his parents. I mean, Drew, you'd rather get shot, like, in the hand than him call the folks.
Back
would
then?
You say that age?
Oh.
Like something that just sort of...
Wouldn't even have to think about
maybe
it.
Maybe didn't catch any vital organs, just passed through your side.
Well, you could take out the liver, too.
Yeah, liver. Yeah. Something that you have, like, a high survival probability.
Yeah.
You right. take a slug. Low-caliber slug.
Yeah, sure.
If a 22 or 9.
Yeah, I wonder what the parents... I mean, because my mom... I don't think my mom would have particularly cared.
Well, you're an actor. You've got liberal parents.
Well, we grew up in Ashland. We grew up, you know, with a bunch of hippies running around naked.
That's what I'm saying. Your mom would have probably been half-baked and showed up with, like, one of her lovers and... She's very liberal. Pulled the VW van up.
Yeah, that's true.
Spicoli
roll out. It was a Volvo at the time. Those nice old Volvos.
Yeah. The hardcore hippies have been driving. Like the Volvo is something that normal people have been driving for about the last 8 or 10 years. The hardcores that I grew up with, they were driving the Volvo wagon in like '69.
And they looked like the VW Squarebacks.
Yeah,
that's what they looked like.
Yeah, and then they started to get even worse. Like the real hardcore people. Drove the Saabs and the Volvos. Yeah. And it's a statement you make, which is, I know this is a piece of ass, but it's European, and therefore making a statement.
I know something.
I must know something.
You'd be from a socialist country.
Right, right. Everyone gets medicine there. Everyone. All 15 people that live in Sweden, they get free medicine. Free medicine. So much better than ours. What would the hippies talk about if they weren't talking about how much better the rest of the world's medical care is than our country and how they get it for free? Would that cut into like 45 to 50% of their conversation, you think?
If you took away that and the dead, yeah, you'd be left with silence.
We're going to take a break. I know, Ann. I got one thing to say to all you you left-wing hippies. This includes my family. Listen, you nut jobs. Why are people flying in from around the world to this country to have medical procedures performed on them?
Propaganda.
See,
propaganda.
Your hippie ass flying out to Sweden when you get hepatitis from sucking on a bad roach with your stoner buddy Zorback in the back of the Volvo. You ain't going to Sweden, are you, Ma? No, I don't think so. They're coming out here. That's all you need to know.
They're here.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Eric Balfour is our guest tonight.
Word.
He is on HBO's 6 Feet Under, the hugely critically acclaimed show, starting its new season this Sunday at 9:30 p.m. Also, he's also on Fox as the computer nerd guy on 24, which is another show that is amazingly well-received. And I think people are sort of... getting on board with 24, at least that's my... It was around for a while, people didn't want to watch it, and then people got hit over the head with how good it was, and they seem to be climbing on now.
I think people were just afraid that if they missed it, they wouldn't be able to catch on and then decide to be lazy and not do it. But once, you know, they always have that thing at the beginning, you know, previously on.
Right.
Kind of helps.
Yeah, they have that. Yeah, in case you missed it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Alex over here, who's 21. Alex?
Hi.
Hey.
Last year you did a show about birth control,
mm-hmm.
and you had a guest who said that there was some kind of link between birth control pills and HIV.
Right.
Adam asked for the
overwhelming data that he had on it. And I want to know what the stats were on it. I wanted the percentage. She amazingly didn't have that. Maybe you do, Alex.
No, I don't have the percentage, but there's an article in the paper today, the Seattle Times, about some studies that had been conducted that show there may be a link.
And what's the link?
Well, the link is not using condoms.
Right.
Well, it says that one study conducted in monkeys showed that progesterone, a hormone in the pill, makes the wall of the vagina thinner and possibly more susceptible to HIV infection.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been thinking about this since last year, Alex?
No, it's just I saw in the paper.
Oh, okay.
So
because I've been screaming about it since last year.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, you're gay. Go ahead, progesterone.
True, please.
And another suggested that hormones somehow could make CD4 immune cells, HIV's main target, more vulnerable to the killer virus. And that somehow the women taking birth control pills end up with HIV that is more genetically diverse, and that makes it harder for the immune system to put down the infection.
Well, I cannot refute this because I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you that all that you've spoke of probably translates in about 0.1%, which was my argument with her, which was what was the percent? You know, naturally, when she says it, it's 50%.
Right.
So does it give a percentage?
No, it actually says that it's too early to recommend that women stop taking oral contraceptives and that there's no conclusive link.
Who was who published this study?
This was,
was it published?
Well, there's a couple different ones. This was all presented at the 9th Annual Retrovirus Conference in Seattle.
Okay. All right. And do you know where it was ultimately published?
No, it doesn't. The article doesn't say.
Okay. Very interesting. It's hard to make enough of that, though, given the particularly non-risk populations, that the risk of coming across HIV is so remote.
Heterosexual women.
Yeah, heterosexual women, non-risk populations. And the fact that, remember that one, there was another guy did a publication where he sort of ranked the risk of vaginal intercourse versus, say, receptive anal intercourse. But, you know, receptive anal intercourse was like 100, and vaginal intercourse, the female was like an 8 or something.
Right.
In terms of risk of contracting HIV. So whether or not it would really impact things, interesting question, but hard to imagine it would.
All right there, Alex.
I appreciate you
reading the paper and getting with us.
Oh, yeah. Well, my pleasure.
All right there, buddy boy.
Bye.
Never call again, please.
Oh, don't worry.
Right. Well, I don't like the guy offering data that undermines my rant.
Well, it's good.
Michael? Well, it's good for you.
Oh,
Michael, you're 16. What's up?
Hey, I got a problem with my penis, and I'm not quite sure really what it is, but I notice when I go to the restroom and stuff, I go to pull back my foreskin, and I go to rub it, and it's a little bit wet, and it's got like this real, real bad smell to it. I don't know what it is, really.
Yeah,
are you showering?
Yes.
All right, that's usually what they're called anaerobic bacteria. That area, not a lot of oxygen gets in there, and bacteria grow, and the kind of bacteria that grow don't like oxygen, because sure enough, there's no oxygen down there.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to combat that is to dry it out, air it out, and give it lots of oxygen.
Yeah, hang it on a clothesline.
And that will go away.
Can you get it a little oxygen, you know, pull the foreskin back, let it breathe?
Yeah.
See, your penis is like, it's like a pair of boots you wore out in the rain. You can't just put them in a plastic bag and put them in the closet. You got to put them out on the porch and let them get a little air.
Isn't one teenager with this problem enough to cause us to go ahead and keep taking off the foreskins?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I didn't have this problem. Didn't have a foreskin.
Yeah. A weekend at the nudist colony might do you good.
And God knows, if given how, you know, your hygiene issues sort of sneak up on you as you're going through puberty.
Yeah.
No doubt you and I would have had this.
You could have had a smelly pepe. Hey, Michael, give that foreskin back and give it a little air there, buddy.
All right, man.
Soap and water.
A little soap and water, and then let it dry out in the sun.
All right, man.
All right there, buddy.
All right, man.
You know, keep it back and wear like some boxers or something. Let it breathe down there.
Yeah.
And dump some of that talc down your shorts. That's what I do.
So you got to excuse me. I'm a first-time caller and all that.
All right. You're doing fine.
Yeah. All right.
All right, buddy. Take care of that penis.
All right.
David?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah. What's up there, David? 16.
First, I want to say that 24 rocks.
Oh, thank you.
And Adam, you weren't on both episodes of Family Guy today.
We're not?
No, you weren't, Adam.
Unacceptable.
You're at one.
What's that?
You were on one episode of
Family Guy. Was the first one Norm?
Yeah.
Oh, he was the old Grim Reaper.
Yeah, you still beat him by a long shot.
Yeah, Norm MacDonald was the Grim Reaper before I was the Grim Reaper on The Family Guy, which is a show I really enjoy on Fox. And I had done a few Grim Reaper episodes, so I assumed since two of them were running tonight and one of them I knew was mine, I figured the other one was me as a Grim, but that was Norm. All right.
No problem, but I was going to ask my question about, see what you guys think. Earlier, you guys talking about cremation and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, like, my father died 4 years ago. And we got him cremated, and then me and my mom were about to spread his ashes in a river. We opened the box, I found screws, metal shards, and everything like that inside the box.
No, you didn't.
I swear on my life I did.
Maybe he had a bad hip.
No, really, I found all these things.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, maybe he had like a mechanical hip or something.
No, he never had that. Maybe he didn't.
Did they put him in a box before they sent him?
Yeah, they cremated him. We got the box, and then we're about to...
They put him in a box before they burn him, and maybe that's sort of hardware off of that or something.
I'm not sure what it was. I was just wondering maybe if you guys know, because me and my mom were wondering why we have bolts and everything.
Do you know if this was... and I don't mean to be callous.
Was your dad Frankenstein?
Yeah, somewhat. But inside, the ashes, once they're in the box, usually come inside a plastic. You know, there's a lining. Was that inside the lining?
It was inside the bag.
Inside the bag.
Yeah.
I don't believe
him.
Why not?
Everything.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
It was really in there. I don't understand. I have pieces of it, but...
You do?
Yeah.
Nuts and bolts or just bolts?
It was bolts, random shards of metal like you'd stick connected to some kind of machine or something, or just random things.
It could be something out of the devices that they use to cremate the body.
Why didn't you call the organization that did this and
ask her? I don't know. I don't know why she didn't call her. I was like, you know, it was about 4 years ago we spread them.
Yeah, well, I mean, doesn't matter to you. It was a more important issue.
Yeah, I was just wondering about it.
Wait, now, what's the meaning you make of this? Is it a problem for you?
Not really. I was just wondering why. Maybe if they're like fake ashes or whatever, I'm give you the right one.
Let's stay with you for a minute. Have you been able to grieve satisfactorily? Is this a closed problem for you? You're all right with things?
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
I just put it away. Why waste that energy if you're okay?
Yeah, I was just wondering about it, though.
I don't have a good explanation. There's no way we can tell you with any kind of certainty.
I was just wondering if anybody else had it or anything like
well,
that.
We'll take some calls. We'll see what comes up, all right?
All right, thanks.
All right, buddy.
See you later.
Care.
You too.
Ashes to ashes.
Bolts to bolts.
Screws. All right, thanks, Drew. Just step right on it. Step right on it, Jeff. Go ahead, Jay. Wendy?
Oh, yeah?
You're 17?
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
If we say so.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I have this boyfriend, right? And he's a little older than me. Let's just say a couple years older.
Are we just saying, or is he really just a couple years older?
No, he's...
He's 25.
No, he's a little bit older than that.
You're 17 and he's 40.
No, he's 27. Yeah. And his sister, she's around the same age as me, but me and her sister have been... I mean, his sister have been experimenting a little bit behind his back, and I don't really want him to know that. And now he broke up with me a couple years ago, and I think his sister told him. And so I'm kind of, like, freaked out. And, well, it's because I don't even know that I'm bisexual, because I'm not bisexual. You know, I'm just experimenting a little bit, you know?
Right.
And I'm, like, so damn scared, because I don't want him to, like, give me, like, a rest that I'm, like...
You're a lesbian.
Yeah.
And right.
But I'm not, though. That's the thing. I just experimented a little bit.
Shall we bet?
Yeah. I can already see where this is going. I'd love to put some...
You want to bet?
Really?
Yeah.
Eric would like to gamble. Oh, hold on there, Wendy. Uh-huh. I haven't done this in a while. And this isn't, this doesn't seem like a hands-down gambling case, but theoretically we can gamble on anyone who calls. I mean, you can say whatever
there's
you want.
There's a molestation.
Doesn't have to be wholesale abuse. All right, let's get the buck out.
Right.
Eric knows how the game is played, obviously. And who wants to start? Yeah, Eric, you got a vibe?
Yeah, I'm going for sexual abuse.
All right.
What age? She's 17. Yeah. I'm going to say 8 or 9.
Okay. 8 or 9, sexual abuse. All right, that's good. I'm going to go, she's got the older boyfriend, so there's a little daddy issue here. Also a little sexual, also a little acting out. I'm going to go with, could have been some sexual abuse, female on female sexual abuse, possible ability that. Here, perhaps,
like
you know,
kindergarten.
The 7-8-year-old neighbor came over, did a little experimenting.
Good bet.
I'm going to go with dad took off and no contact and doesn't know who this guy is. Stepdad slid in but never had a relationship with him. As a matter of fact, she doesn't like him. And little sexual experimenting at a young age, not what she would consider sexual abuse, a little peer on peer screwing around.
Good one.
Thank you.
That's a good bet. I'm going for...
Won't be any of those.
No. Ooh, nails and screws are part of the coffin. We just found out here.
All right.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to go for no major dysfunction until about 11 when holy hell breaks loose in the family. Dad leaves. Over about 2 years, there's a lot of mess going on. Dad takes off, and her relationship with him is very distant now, but it was a lot of trauma. Early adolescence.
Wendy? All right, so let's talk about your past for a moment.
Okay.
Your dad, is he still around?
Yeah, he's around.
Oh, that sea sucker. I'm going to kill him. And you get along with him?
No, I get along with nobody of my family.
All right. Any sexual abuse?
By my brother when I was 8 years old, around 8.
Ooh, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Eric is dancing a jig because your brother pumped you when you were 8. How do you feel about that, Eric? He won $2.
Oh.
No, that's not...
8 or 9, brother. Now, this is real brother?
Yeah, my real brother, biological brother.
Do you still live with your real brother?
Yeah, and he has a baby now by his girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
And his girlfriend is 1 year older than me, and he's 21. Mm-hmm.
He's 21.
Yeah, and their baby's 9 months right now.
Do you ever worry about the baby when she gets older?
I'm, like, most definitely worried about the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's worry about you and have you worry about you, too, because... You, it is in the cards that you will get pregnant and drop out and screw up and cost me more tax money.
All this,
before your 20th birthday.
Experimenting around your bisexuality is not experimenting around; it's acting out from the trauma of this sexual abuse. What else? What's wrong with you and your dad? Why?
Well, because my dad, he used to take, because like our family and everything's been falling apart lately.
Since when?
Since my brother left, which was about 2 years ago.
Since 15.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. And my brother, he is, like, a total, like, you know, he's, like, not in my life anymore.
Why is your family falling apart now?
Oh, because of my brother. He left us for his girlfriend because his girlfriend didn't like our family, so he left us. And he
Hold on. Why is your family falling apart because your brother took off at 19, for Christ's sake?
And plus.
Wait a minute. Most families, the kid goes off to college at 18.
It's falling apart when the kid stays at home. Yeah. That's when the family falls apart at 19.
Why is the family falling apart because the sexual abusive brother took off at 19 when he's supposed to take off?
It's because my family, okay, he's like the spoiledest like child up in my family, and like they praise him basically, and like the rest of the children in the household, they're like nothing compared like to my brother.
Mm. Are you Asian too?
No.
No, that's how it works though. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
We have to talk about
we got to take a break. But what I think she's doing? She hates this guy for good reason. And I'm sure if you talk to the brother, he'd tell you how much he hated the family and they hated him because that's why he took off and is shunning his own family. Also, look, what he did to you is inexcusable, and you should want to kill him for it. But him leaving at 19 is not the reason the family's falling apart.
We'll find out more.
There's more here.
Yeah.
Eric Balfour is here tonight from 24 on Fox and 6 Feet Under on HBO, and he's got 8 pilots in the work with networks that haven't been invented yet. In case he has a deal where...
Well, no, I'm actually inventing the network myself.
If another network comes into existence, he has a show on that network. That's how.
Good time.
We'll take a break. We'll get to the bottom of Wendy after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. The radio show is on the air. I'm the host.
The professional host.
I'm the professional host. That's Dr. Drew, the professional doctor.
Right.
Would you shut up, please?
Yep.
Eric Balfour is our guest tonight. He is on HBO 6 Feet Under, which is at 9:30 on HBO, of course, Sunday nights. And also on the hit series 24, which is on Fox on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock. There you go.
Nice thing about being a professional announcer is you hit those commercial breaks right on time.
That's right.
Given you've been doing that beautifully this hour, we're just about due for another break. So let's finish this call.
We'll be right back.
We'll go for the break.
Hey, Wendy?
Really, it's true.
All right. So, you got to get some counseling because your brother molested you.
Yeah.
All right. You got to
do that.
Can
you do that?
Yeah, I already have, but it's not working.
No kidding. You stay with it.
Stay with it.
And do the work. Maybe you're not doing the work.
Yeah.
And I know your family is a big mess, and I'm sorry that you were born into that.
Why would your family fall apart because your brother left?
No, it's because, the reason why they actually fell apart is because, my brother left. The reason being that he left is because my younger sister is kind of, like, bi-curious, and I think that it will be right. Like, I don't know why, but I'm going to take it from my sister and to see, experiment, because it seems like she's having fun, so I'm just going
to
try it.
That's called incest. I know it feels okay to you because your brother did this to you. That is...
No, not my sister. It's other people.
No, I know. But hold on there, Wendy.
Yeah.
All right. But she's bi-curious, by the way, because your brother abused her, too.
Yeah.
Drew just asked you why your family's falling apart because your brother's leaving, and you went on this sort of rambling thing about your sister being bi-curious.
That's also why, too.
Your family's falling apart because your sister's bi-curious?
Yeah, because she's actually like, lesbian, but my mom doesn't approve of that.
Hey, how old is your younger sister?
She's 9.
No, she's 12.
Well,
okay, so you've got, a bunch of kids in the family that have been sexually abused, and your parents are not doing anything about it.
No.
All right, do something.
You've got to get some help. You
blow the whistle on this. Tell everyone what's happened here.
And stay away from this 24-year-old 27-year-old or whoever, that her boyfriend.
He's his biggest scumbag.
I'm giving you a phone number. It's 1-800-540-4000. 1-800-540-4000 or 1-800-422-4453. If you don't like that, you can call RAIN, which is Tori Amos's organization, help you with this problem. 800-656-4673.
I want to give a number out for Jimmy Kimmel's organization. It's called WIND. It's for people who can't stop breaking.
Passing wind. Not a passing.
Is that off the cuff?
Thank you. Yeah. Let me just say this real fast before we go to break. Minor rant here. Look, when I'm in charge, I will get hold of these two and I will shove a 10-year supply of Norplant in them, because these are the people we have to worry about. And for those of you who think that's doing a disservice to the Wendy's of the world who are 17 and getting raped by the 27-year-olds and experimenting with their sisters or the 12-year-olds who will soon be getting raped by the 27-year-olds of the world, it is doing them a favor. It is enabling them to possibly complete high school. Why? We can't look at this family as trouble. And I'm going to take the dad out and put a Luger in it under his chin and put him down, like the enemy of the state that he is. I mean, we'll put to death agents, right? I mean, people that are working against this country, spies, we put them to death, right?
Treason.
It's treason. This guy's killing the country from the inside out. Have Eric's hippie mom run over him in the Volvo wagon.
She'll just say a prayer for him.
Yeah, and keep paying for the kids. All right, we'll be back. The Live, fastest growing outlaw radio in North America.
How long can you hold that note?
I don't know. That was bad. That was the longest in a while. Hey, where the hell were we? Loveline, yeah. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. There's Dr. Drew, and I'm Adam, and Eric Balfour is our guest tonight. He's from 6 Feet Under, which is on HBO. Sunday nights, 9:30, and then all the time, really. It gets replayed a lot. 24, he's also on this show, which is on Fox. Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock, doing himself a pilot. And, really, the world is his oyster. Enjoy it. It's fleeting. All right, let's hop back to the phones. And Drew, Drew brought Girl Scout cookies tonight.
I've bought 4 boxes so far.
Guessing from his young girl. But he really brought the worst ones in my mind. He brought all the white ones that are just kind of cakey. Like, well, the Aloha Macadamia nut ones, that's weak. That's no good. There's not an ounce of chocolate in this whole box.
This is all chocolate. And we have some chocolate peanut butter.
Yeah, now chocolate peanut butter. Now, that's what I'm on board for. What do you mean these are all chocolate?
We have an open box
on the other side of the whole room.
They got open.
Bring Adam one of those peanut butter filled chocolate things.
I'd like to buy.
Peter, please.
Hey, Drew. Drew? I don't want to commit to a whole box, but I'll buy like 8 cookies. It'll be like 70 cents or something.
Good.
Yeah. What a scam. How much money do they make?
I don't know.
All the, everyone brings them into work and stuff. You know, this doesn't remind me of Girl Scouts and cookies. It makes me hate, like, the family.
Because they didn't?
No, I wasn't hawking Girl Scout cookies. This is what we're talking about. I'm going to take 3 of these. This is good. Is that Eric? What are we at? 40 cents there?
I can actually write it off, so don't worry about it.
All right, if I eat it on the air, you can write it off?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a cookie. Here's what all cookies should be. Just a blob of peanut butter that's been sunk in chocolate.
There you go.
That's all you need. All right, let's talk to Andrew. And I'm going to eat this cookie. Andrew?
Yeah, what's up?
All right,
I got with my girlfriend on Valentine's Day, and I called you guys before about that Asian chick, whatever. And you probably don't remember, you talked to too many people, but I got with her, and she was telling me about one of her friends who's a guy who gave her a back rub. And, like, normally I get all jealous and mad, but this time, for some reason, just the fact of another guy touching her, like, it just did something to me. I think it really hurt me. And, like, I say I'm jealous, but I want to know what's going on.
All right, this was a girl you had some sort of physical relationship with?
Kind of. I mean, we kiss and we touch each other. We're boyfriend-girlfriend.
How long have you been boyfriend-girlfriend?
2 weeks today.
2 weeks. And she was referring to there having been a guy that gave her a back massage at one time?
Today, supposedly, because he saw the tremendous load that her sister had put into her backpack.
Excuse me?
I know, it sounds like...
Was she just trying to make you jealous to get a rise out of you?
Wait a second, I had to put him on hold because he used the S word again, but... The tremendous load that was placed in her backpack was something I couldn't get around. I don't think he meant it in a sexual way.
But it came off so bizarre.
Jealous of this dude because he put a huge load in my girlfriend's backpack.
Okay. I hope it wasn't suede.
I am I'm a little skeptical that their boyfriend and girlfriend,
right,
regardless of what sounds like an innocent back rub.
That's right. Now, look, let's get some questions on here.
Andrew, is this your first... hold on. No swearing, you retard. Do you hear me?
Is this your first girlfriend?
No.
All right. But you've not had sex with her?
No.
And you kiss?
Yeah.
What kind of kissing?
Everything.
With the tongue?
Any kind of kissing you can do.
Why is it so...
Wait a minute. You kiss, you put your tongue in her mouth?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Why is it so funny that you should, we should ask you whether you've had previous girlfriends?
I don't know. Well, why wouldn't I?
Well, because
Hi, jackass. Go to hell. I've had enough of him.
You idiot!
Just shut up. Don't call
the gong show.
Don't call the show. I'm not toying around 16-year-old idiots. Just who cares? Do we all agree that we hate Andrew?
Well, it's a strong word.
He's being a pain in the ass. And, yeah, he's an idiot. Yeah. Who cares?
He was condescending, no doubt.
The fact that he is jealous.
No, shut up. No. Andrew, go work it out. I hope it just turns to vinegar in your underpants. Who cares? Robin?
Hi.
Idiots. There's nothing worse than a smart-mouthed 16-year-old punk, is there?
They're a pain in the butt.
Thank you.
38-year-old smart mouth punk.
37.
Your birthday's coming up, huh?
A
couple weeks?
No. I'm the end of May.
May.
Oh, May what?
Hold on. Since when is the end of May? 6 weeks away.
March. Oh, you're right.
Can you relax? You're so eager for me to get old like you, Drew. Go ahead, Robin.
Okay. Well, anyway, I was calling about that one guy, what is his name, Michael, about his dad's ashes.
Right.
When I buried we had my father cremated, and the funeral director told my son and I that, you know, what to expect. There's going to be all the hardware what the screws or the staples and what have you that's used in the special coffins that are used for cremating.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. That's what makes sense to me.
I mean, it has the teeth and everything are in there, all the dental work.
Yeesh.
Everything's there.
Nice. Listen, I understand the dental work part. It was the nut and bolt part that seemed a little confusing. Well, we all sort of assumed that it must have been something that was in the oven.
It was in the incinerator, right?
Well, they let you know ahead of time, and there are special coffins that are used for the cremation, and the everything that's used to put the coffin together are going to be in with the ashes.
Oh, yeah,
and
good.
The bone fragments, because it's not just dust.
Yeah.
Michael didn't get that memo.
I guess not.
Yeah, you understand, Robin, about as far as the teeth and the bone and stuff, that's all stuff that people have in them when they're alive.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really arouse your suspicion or curiosity, you understand? Yeah, but we were talking about the stuff that may have not been on your person when you went into the crematorium.
Our funeral director told us that...
Hold on, let me guess.
Okay.
He told you that there's going to be things mixed in there because those are the things used
from
the casket.
From the coffin. Oh, now I understand.
Is that right?
Yes, and I witnessed the cremation.
Right.
And, you know, I saw it go into the incinerator, and that's what it is. And they're not going to mess around with anything else.
We found a melted pager on my grandfather.
You know what? But, you know, they really are adamant about that there is not a pacemaker. If you don't let them know that the body has a pacemaker, it could explode in the incinerator and damage everything.
Good tip. So,
there you go.
Okay, well, you know what? You rock, Adam, and get Dr. Drew on CERN, because you are too funny.
Oh, thanks there, buddy.
Hi, Eric.
Hello, how are you? What I've been able to do on CERN.
Huh?
Think about it.
Can you imagine CERN getting Dr. Drew's personal life?
Yeah. Hey, babe. Hey, babe. Let me ask you a couple questions. And let me say this as an ex-carpenter. You build stuff minus metallic materials all the time. I mean, there's things called biscuits or wafer joiners. I have a biscuit, a plate joiner. These things are made out of, they're like dowels, like wood dowels. Like you could easily.
Expensive?
I know
no.
what you're talking about.
You could,
Wait a minute.
You know what a plate joiner is, Robin? You know what a biscuit is?
I know what the dowel is and everything, yeah.
You could easily build a box. I mean, back when, that's how most furniture is built. Yeah. It doesn't have screws and
dowels in it. I think all these box cars plywood with you.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying for another $5,
really?
You just sink where the joint is, first off, you could do a joint. You could do like a dado or a rabbit joint. But if you're just going to butt
all the stickly furniture is that way. That doesn't have any.
I wonder why they don't do that.
If you're just going to butt the joint together, just going to take the end and butt it to the side, you could put a dowel or a biscuit in there and just clamp it together.
Plywood? You do that?
Absolutely.
This could be a new, actually, business for you.
Stronger than a screw would be.
I don't know. Now that you mention that, I wonder why they don't do that. But these caskets are really beautiful, and they are made especially for the incinerator. Why they don't use that, I don't know.
How much was that casket?
Altogether, the casket alone, I have to go look at my receipt.
Yeah, pull that invoice. We'll do one way.
You want me to get it?
No, just tell us approximately what the casket was.
For the casket for that is like about $600, $700.
Whole retail's about $200 or something like that.
That's why I can't.
And they have.
I could have got you the same casket for $250.
Damn it.
All right. So it just seems crazy to burn a real nice casket to me. I'm with the Jews. You put them in the refrigerator box and stuff them in there, wrap them with duct tape, and slide it right in there. I'm gonna be wrapped in foil, like a baked potato. Like when you're camping and you make a baked potato. All right,
like paper wrap chicken.
Right.
Bye, you guys. I love you.
All right, good times. You ex-junkie?
No.
All right, you got that sound to you.
I'm home. I work graveyard. I'm home with my children because they're sick with the flu.
Okay.
And that's why I'm here.
What do you do? Where do you work graveyard? Convenience store?
At the post office.
All right. What do you do there?
I'm going to be your best
friend.
Clerk?
Yeah, I do flat sorting. And people are probably listening over my work, and they know my voice, and they're probably saying, hey, they're... Anyway.
There's the girl who's calling herself Robin.
Yeah, that's right. All right there, Clarky.
Okay. Bye.
Take care of yourself.
Bye.
All right. Well, there you go. I would think that the cremation casket would not have metal parts in it.
It makes sense. I agree with you.
You get a bag of hardware mixed in with Grandpa.
But it's sort of like the same theory. You think when you call 911, you're going to actually get a person.
Right.
Get an answer.
Get ashes with hardware.
Yeah.
I've yet to call 911, I'm glad to say. And by the way, like I said, I would like a plaque from the city and some sort of rebate. Every citizen that doesn't call 911 every 5 years gets $250, a certificate, a fake key to the city, a plaque, and like a voucher for a bunch of lunch at Shakey's or something.
You're actually probably paying for all the times that they show up at my house on a monthly basis.
Oh, he'll kill you. Watch out.
You call a 911?
My neighbor. Okay, you should get my neighbor.
You got one of them.
I went to the man's house. My band rehearses in a studio at my house. We've soundproofed it. I mean, use like mineral foam.
Right.
Dead air space walls. I've done so much. And every once in a while, gets a little loud, I've gone to the guy. I've said, hey, come over, knock on the door, call me, say, Eric, shut the hell up. I'll be quiet. And he will not talk to me. He will not communicate. All he wants to do is call the police.
How old is he?
He's a 40-year-old musician.
Wow.
Musician? Yeah, that's the thing that kills me about this. The man is a musician. No love of the... I don't know. I can't even talk about it. I've actually tried to befriend his, 12-year-old sons just to, mess with his head.
Yeah.
I'm really nice to the kids when I see them.
You should molest them. That would mess with his head.
I'm actually just trying to be, best friends with them.
Right. So, cool guy lives next door.
Yeah, and so that way when he calls the cops, he'll just get dirty looks from the...
Whoa, Dad, you're not my hero anymore. Put the phone down, pussy, and get over there and talk to the guy. Jesus, a musician, of all
things. I don't know what...
We're about to abandon the best friend of the 12-year-old. strategy.
Yeah, go for the molestation.
Well, that's where his head's going.
Right.
Exactly. All right, look, all I'm saying is any of you nut jobs who thinks you can use the cops as your own personal Gestapo drives me insane. You let them do your nonsense bidding. I'm not going to tell you where Eric lives, but he lives further up the hill than I do, and I know it takes those cops a half hour just to get up the goddamn hill, go talk to you about nothing, and then turn around and go back down again.
They can check the parking on the way down, give a few hundred tickets.
Yeah,
I will say this, though. They're always the nicest guys.
Yeah, because it's nonsense.
Yeah, and they come in, they see that I'm clearly not trying to do it, and... Actually, we give them free CDs now. And
they're apologetic. Yes, I have the same ones. And if my neighbors are listening, you old coots, understand that when the cops come by to shut down the party, let me explain how it works. I sign autographs and give them a tour of the house, blow some weed in their face, and they go about their merry way. And when I ask them, you want me to turn down the stereo? You know what their answer is? Not if you don't want to. And they leave. So keep calling them, you old tards. Lauren? I mean, nuts. I want them fined for this. I want them fined for these nonsense calls. Lauren?
Yeah?
What's up, Amy?
Nothing.
16?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go.
Okay. So I want to know how to make it clear to the coolest guy that I'm interested in.
To the coolest guy?
She said that.
Clueless.
Yeah. Clueless. Yeah.
How about walking right up to him and inviting him for a cup of coffee or something?
I sort of tried.
And what happened?
He's pretty shy.
Guys, when they
even shy guys take you up on something.
Yes, when they're interested, the even the shyest guys cannot help but lunge. It's like putting meat in front of a lion or something. You know,
well,
maybe the timidest, most withdrawn lion. You put the bait up, it's pow, it's just out.
Well, put it this way, Drew. You're practically a serial rapist. I mean, sexually, right? You've got some drive. Drew's a passionate man.
I can see that.
And when you were, and we've all, and Eric, I'm sure you've had your share of gals coming up to you, too.
But there's nothing sexier than a woman who's...
No, you're fine with it, but you will play shy, coy, and stupid if you're not interested. Mm-hmm. They'll come up and they'll go, hey, we're all going over to my place after whatever, and you go, oh, hey, that sounds great, but I got to be whatever. And you come off sounding somewhere between coy and gay,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which would be... goy or something. But the point is you're playing stupid because you don't want to take them up on it. And let me see if we can make Lauren. She's just close to killing herself. Let's see if we can really just get her to pull the trigger. Lauren?
Yeah?
You see, maybe he's being that way because he's not interested.
Lauren, are you cute? I mean, if you were going to say, do you think you're pretty cute yourself?
Yeah.
Then just be direct. Walk right up to him and tell him how you feel. There's nothing better.
Yeah, guys, what
happened when you walked up to him? What did you say?
I haven't really just, flat out told him.
No, I know, but you came up to him and you laid it down a little bit.
I said, do you want to go do something, this weekend? And he was like, oh, I'm busy. But it was, on Friday, so,
I know.
I don't know, then he, asked me to do a project with him. So I'm kind of confused.
Well, maybe he could be, maybe he is gay.
Are you super smart?
Not in this particular class.
Hmm. What kind of project?
Othello.
Well, what's the project?
Huh?
What's the project?
It was to make a poster.
Are you a good artist?
yeah, I guess so.
Hmm.
But it was like cutting out magazine thing, so it wasn't like that kind of
thing. Are you friendly with him?
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If he's getting his decoupage, he's gay.
But it's your friend.
You asked him to do something. What was his excuse for why he didn't want to do something over the weekend?
Oh, he did, but then when I talked to him later that night, his friend was like, no, let's not.
His guy friend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keith. Well, maybe the buddy just didn't want to get left out of the party.
Keith, who wears the ascot?
I don't know. Laura, just keep at him a little bit.
I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be satisfying to you, whatever you find out here. It doesn't sound good. But You need to find out.
I'm going with not interested.
Pete Dog is a gay homosexual.
You asked him out over the weekend, and he was like, yeah, all right. And then later on, you talked to him that night, and he's like, I don't want to.
But why live in the unknown? At least if she asks directly, she'll know the answer. It's just like with guys that got to
get. Well, listen, you don't know for sure that you would die if you jumped off, like, the Golden Gate Bridge, but you got a pretty good understanding.
Young women need the experience with rejection just like guys do, too, though.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, like, he called me at work to apologize and ask to do something that night, you know?
Oh, really?
And what'd you say?
Huh?
Did you say yes?
Oh, well, I had already blown off my friend twice to do something with him, so...
Lauren, just keep at it.
Keep at it. And by the way, only women would even entertain this thought for a second, which is, I'm really into this dude.
Right.
I want to go out with this dude. Now he calls me at work and says, hey, how about tonight? But I promised one of my friends I'd hang out with her, so I can't.
Yeah, I don't know. Guys, we don't do that. Like,
no.
It's that thing when you're about to sleep with a girl for the first time. And they get a call from their best friend, you know, their boyfriend broke up with them, blah, 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 whatever the thing case may be. And they'll actually be like, they want to do it, but they'll be like, I got to go. And my friend needs me.
Oh,
if a guy called, another guy called us and said, you know, my mom and dad and all my family just burned in a building, I'd be like, I'm really sorry to hear that. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
And that'd be the end of that.
Too bad, Stu.
Women have that turn-off switch, though. I don't understand.
Oh, they do it. You know, they do it, too. They do it at, like, clubs and parties and stuff where you're, like, you're really getting along with some chick and you're going to give a ride home. She's like, Tammy's really going to be mad if I don't. And they're like, screw Tammy.
She's really drunk. I need to take care of her.
You don't understand Tammy. Tammy, she won't let me forget this. And it's like, look, Tammy's an adult. Tammy's got a set of keys and a car. Who drove? Well, Tammy drove. Well, where's Tammy live? This is about 2 miles from the... Well, just tell Tammy to haul her fat ass home. Well, you don't know Tammy. Tammy's really... It's like, Tammy is going to be pissed if you hook up with some guy? Yeah, she will, because she broke up with her boyfriend, Kurt, like 4 months ago. It's like, oh, listen, I'm going to go kill Tammy. Which
it's like these women have seen single white female once too many times.
Oh, just please, girls. You know the other thing that... You know what girls hate? Girls hate it when their friend is getting picked up on and they're not, and their friend who wants to get picked up on is real sensitive about the friend that's not getting picked up on. So now it's like, yeah, listen, I'm into you, but I can't because, oh, please. Guys would go over there and just rub it in a friend's face, kick them in the nuts. Maybe, like, you know, even go a little further. Like, I had buddies like, can I use your bed, man? I got to get laid. Like, let me borrow your car. Do you got any money? You got, like, $20? Or can I use your ATM card? I'm going to buy some scotch, and I'm going to go back and pork around, and I'm going to shoot my wad on your pillow, okay? And don't come home for like an hour.
You have to remove your sheets before that happens.
Yeah. There's women. You're way too... And you know what the real irony of this is? She hates her friend Tammy. That's the true irony here. Sarah?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Sarah, we got to take a break.
Okay.
All right? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, Eric Balfour is our guest tonight. He's from 6 Feet Under and 24, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, Loveline, I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Dr. Drew, living this show, baby. Ain't just yapping on the air and grabbing a paycheck. Oh, no.
I've actually been cured during the break.
Yeah. Like, don't you hate when the show interrupts the show? All right, we're just getting into biology and the differences between men and women and all that good stuff. Eric Balfour is our guest tonight. He is from 6 Feet Under and also from 24 on Fox, 6 Foot Under or 6 Feet Under on HBO, 9:30 Sunday nights, and then all the time. It was on tonight, saw it on the satellite about 7 o'clock out here. I don't know if that was the East Coast feed or what the deal is, but it's run a lot. And I hear nothing but praise about this show. Yes.
You know how I do this and this drives you crazy?
When you flip that.
Or if I do anything with my hands, like if I do this, this drives you nuts.
If you do anything that makes noise on your microphone.
I was doing this the other day and you...
No, you know what you do? And Anderson, please back me up here. Drew does things that his mic picks up, and then I hear them in my headphones. Like, hold on. Go ahead, Drew. Do what you do.
I'm doing this as loud as I can, too. Though.
Yeah, that's what you do. And sometimes you'll pick up a pen, you'll do this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'll, like, clank it a little. You'll get a little repetitive. get a little.
Well, the reason I brought it up is I did as much of that as I could while Jimmy was on the air. I mean, I just really just went one ounce with it for 2 hours. He didn't mention it. We didn't notice it once.
Jimmy has a narcolepsy. He does. That's right. He's a horrible driver. He falls asleep everywhere. He seems to be able to focus, but only on one thing at a time.
Well, that's called focus.
Oh,
that's just called focus. That's what focusing
the rest of the
is.
Is how they do.
No, focusing is about examining things one thing at a time.
Did he tell you that he crashed on his way here?
Yeah, he's a horrible driver.
And he paid $300 to the woman to leave.
Yeah.
$300 cash.
Yeah, see, everyone complains about all the uninsured Mexicans in L.A., but finally it pays off, right? Jimmy's got a couple of bills in his pocket. Pay her right off. Yeah, Jimmy pulls out of his driveway to go to my house and turns the wrong way. Like on the street, you know? Like he had a 50-50 shot of getting there. I guess he could just go straight into his neighbor's wall.
He was probably focusing on something else.
All right. He does have that ability, but no, things do not drive him insane. That's why he's able. No, let's talk about this for one second. Yeah. Jimmy, I'm horribly jealous of because he just passes out everywhere.
Yeah.
He goes to a movie, passes out. There's a party, passes out. And me, I have difficulty with this. And when I just got back from New York where I was doing the Stern Show, and I had to get up at 5 a.m., and I was just staring at the ceiling, and I could hear people like 30 floors above me whispering, you know, and I'm rolling around my hotel room bed just going nuts. And
about earplugs?
I got earplugs. I got the eye shade on. I got the sound of the whales humping. I got the whole thing. And still, my mind can't shut off. I'm rolling around. And the fact that I have to get up so early, now I'm ruined. Yeah. Now I'm completely ruined. Now, what is this, Drew?
How does this work? You have some processing problem with the... You can't screen out. Everything keeps coming in.
Yes.
The way most brains work is things that are extraneous just get screened out. And this is your genius, too, because the thing you see things, things bother you and don't seem right. The other people are busy just looking past.
Yeah, but then I get angry at those people who never notice what I notice.
Everybody.
And then I'm tortured.
In all fairness to Drew, he's gotten a lot better since I started.
Yeah.
He used to do lots of stuff. The pen killed me.
Yeah, did a lot of
writing with the pen.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that anymore.
Squeaking along with the pen.
Yeah. I would.
Now, what is it with you, Drew? You're just very passive-aggressive that you're not going to let him tell you what to do on the air?
Oh, no. I have, like, obsessive-compulsive disorder. I do stuff all the time.
How come you can sleep so good?
I can sleep really well. No problem.
Well,
I
doctor.
I can focus. My problem is I can focus like a laser beam. And I focus and it'd be an earthquake and a plane could crash. I wouldn't even see it. I wouldn't notice it.
Give me the pill, Skipper.
Seriously, I have the exact opposite of what you have.
I need some drugs. I need some more drugs.
Give me the pill, Skipper.
Thank you. But I tell you, I took a prescription sleeping pill, right? This is yesterday on the airplane. I'm up 24 hours. I went to sleep. We did the radio from 1 to 3 in New York. Got back to the hotel about 3:30. Went to sleep at 4:10. Got up at 5:10 to go do the radio. And now I'm on the plane. I was up for 1 hour the night before. I got a sleeping pill in me. And 3 or 4 cocktails. It's 3 hours in the flight, and I'm standing in the galley talking to the male stewardess about I don't know what and looking at crap on his computer.
But at that point, you hit that hysterical
thing. That's true, right? Too. You do. You hit that.
Yeah,
you
become so overtired. That agitation.
You hit that wiggy.
Yeah.
You hit that wiggy wall, and you're too spun out.
It's when the spots start happening in your vision.
Yeah.
It's when you're driving down the highway and you turn to your buddy next to you after you almost fall asleep. You go, did you see that tree in the middle of the freeway?
Oof.
Right.
Sarah, 21.
Hi.
Hey.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks ago, made a very stupid decision and had a one-night stand with this guy. We had unprotected sex. So my question is, I want to know about how long after, or what's like a good time frame after to be tested for STDs?
Well, who was this guy?
He's a friend of my brother's.
So you know him somewhat?
Well, I've known him off and on for about the past 5 years.
You don't know him to be an IV drug user?
No.
Bisexual?
No.
Okay.
I don't know him really well, and he could be lying to me, but as far as I know him, I know he's obviously had sex with other people, but as far as drugs or anything like
that. Well, as far as the blood test, I think about 2 weeks is 2 weeks, or if you develop symptoms, the moment you develop symptoms, you go in. In 2 weeks, you have a chance to really get a pap smear, get cultured, if herpes is going to show up, it will have showed up by then. You can screen initially for the blood-borne sexually transmitted diseases like hepatitis C and HIV, and then screen again at 6 months.
Yeah. Up to 6 months, I would imagine, right?
Well, do you want to go twice? Once in 2 weeks, a month, 6 months.
All right there, baby.
Okay.
Hey, good time.
Good luck with that.
Thanks. And how do you know you're not pregnant?
I don't yet. I'm waiting on that one still.
How long ago did this happen?
It happened about 3 weeks ago.
The morning after pill, put it in your glove compartment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or your medicine cabinet.
Is that a euphemism for vagina?
No, medicine cabinet. Mm-hmm. Actually in the medicine cabinet.
Oh, I
so
see.
So if you have a mistake like this again, you're at least be protected against pregnancy.
What box would be a good one, though, for with your sweet pink glove box? Okay, let's I see someone up here.
I want to talk to him.
Yeah. It says a schizo woman wants to talk about how bad the show is. I love it. Drew, if there's one thing on the screen that says hates the show.
You're going for it.
Well, you would too, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right there, schizo woman.
Hey, yeah. And I don't appreciate being called a schizo.
Well, that Damien wrote that on the screen.
Yeah, well, you know, let me tell you something.
Oh,
thank you very much.
You have a good comeback to that one.
Let me tell you something.
Well, that's what it said on the screen. That's all
that's
I'm saying.
Let me tell you something.
All right.
Seriously mentally ill does not always stand for seriously mentally ill. It could also stand for seriously mentally intelligent.
Yes.
Do you think about that?
Oh,
you are so right.
That's true. Except for you got to use the initials to really drive that point home, you know.
And as far as that girl having the boyfriend who maybe not have been taking his medication, well, you know, as a patient, if we're not a danger to ourselves or others, and we want to refuse help, then that's our help. You know, that's our choice.
Right.
What I'm saying is that if this girl had a boyfriend, more power to the boyfriend.
Hey, you know what? Hang on a second. One second.
On a second.
I think she's talking about last night's calls.
Who?
She must be talking about something last night.
I don't recall.
I remember you. No, this wasn't tonight.
Or an episode of Twin Peaks.
But I remember you saying something that even made me uncomfortable. I can't remember what it was, frankly.
Oh, please.
Yeah. So something to do with that. No, I do.
Hey,
what's your name now?
I'm not telling you my name.
Oh, well, how should we refer? How,
schizo girl.
Okay, we'll refer to you as schizo.
I thought you didn't want to be called schizo.
Well, why not? Everybody else called me that.
All right. Where are you calling from, schizo girl?
I'm not telling you.
Okay, but what state? We want to know if you heard the show from last night. Or...
Are you east of the Mississippi?
Is it warm where you are?
Yeah, it's warm where I am.
From Florida. Are,
hey, come on, be serious.
Are you calling from the oven?
Okay, sorry. We're sorry.
Hey, Eric, please. Cut the crap. Come on now.
You know, I mean...
No, I'm serious, too. But listen, what call are you talking about? We need to know where you are.
I called the other night. I don't remember what night it was, but
okay.
I tried to call and get through and make a comment, but I never could.
And what did we tell this girl?
Well, that, like, she should, you know, like if she took him home to meet mom and dad think he's a little weird, like, to get rid of him.
Oh, that's what I'm saying,
that's how everybody treats the mentally ill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not all bad people. See, nobody focuses on the good things mentally ill people do.
Yeah. They make great movies about you.
Huh?
Yeah, what do you...
They make wonderful movies about you.
But let me tell you.
Yeah. What do you have? What do you have?
Schizoaffective disorder.
All right. Are you taking your medication?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, we're sympathetic to that.
What I'm saying is that I just don't think that Hollywood should benefit and the rest of society benefit, you know, and have a good time, expense of my suffering.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Calm down there. I don't think depicting people who are mentally ill means having a good time at your expense.
Well, yeah, it is.
you're talking about like.
Let me ask you something. If you were to take Hollywood, okay, I've been hospitalized in 4 different mental hospitals.
Right.
Okay. And let me tell you something. If you were to drag Hollywood through a psychiatric hospital, you're not going to see the stuff that Hollywood shows you. You know, you don't see that kind of stuff going on because everybody's medicated or so out of it that they really don't know what the heck's going on. So, you know, Hollywood's full of crap.
Amen. Well, therefore, we can't do stories and movies about any people of any special type. Less.
I mean, if we do a movie about Vietnam, we got to shoot the actors, or what do you say?
No,
they only actors who actually served in Vietnam can be in there.
No, what I'm saying is that I mean, if.
All right, hold on. Let me jump in here, Schizo woman, because we can't call you by your Christian name. Look. Listen to me. Quiet down. I feel very badly for you and your situation.
Yeah, you do.
But you know what? Quiet down. Quiet down for a second there.
Let me tell you
it's hard to love you as much as I do, but I do anyway. Listen to me. My girlfriend's brother is schizophrenic, and I feel real bad for him. I do, and she does, too.
Yeah.
Yes. So, now listen.
Let me ask you something.
See, hold on a second. Let me tell you something about the mental patients. Speaking of patients, oh, Christ. Here's the whole thing about being a human being. You know, on one level, you go, this person has a disease. This person is ill. But that lasts for about 12 seconds, and you want to wring their goddamn retarded neck. That's basically how it works.
We live in a time when most people, a lot of people have character problems, which schizoaffective is a character condition,
yes,
are angry. And they utilize a primitive mechanism called projective identification, which they take all the awful feelings they have and they don't like, they put them on you as way of containing those feelings.
And then the sanies, as I like to call us, we get pissed.
Right.
But
which is what they're looking for.
But I feel bad for her, and I wish I didn't want to strangle her.
You know, we have a guy like that who we know, and I think he has shell shock, actually, from the war.
There's no such.
Or whatever you
want. Post-traumatic stress.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, eventually you just learn to deal with them as best you can in their state and treat them as normal as possible.
All right. Well, let me just try it one more time with.
Let me tell you something. In the 1600s, people used to go, you know, because they didn't have TV or radio or all that, you know, fancy movies and, you know, all this entertainment. Yeah,
I think they only had 8-tracks.
You know what they did? They paid a penny to go watch The Nuts and the Insane Asylum.
Right. Well, now it's $10, I think.
About being exploited as a mental patient,
right.
I do not appreciate.
All right, but let me say something, too. In the 1600s, they didn't have medications that could help people like you. Now, you, shut up. You need to take your medications and focus on having a good life with the help.
Change your attitude about the mentally ill. How about that?
All right, I will do that, and you take your medication and start. And here's the deal there. Your life, you've been dealt a bad hand, and you can take your medication, and you can still have a good life. But you can't if you just focus on the hand that you got dealt. Okay?
Yeah, but...
All right.
No.
What? Tell me. Tell me.
No one is immune. So you remember that.
No one is immune?
From mental illness. That's right. That's absolutely true.
Oh, listen, I wish I was struck by some sort of mental disease. For the best day of my life, I'd stay home and watch cartoons.
Oh my God! You know,
that'd be great.
God, that you weren't.
Well, now wait a minute. You have had some significant mental health issues when you were depressed as a younger man.
How dare you?
No, think about it. It's not like you've been free of mental illness. I mean, you've had significant.
I've had a horrible life.
I've had mental illness for I don't know God. You know, years and years.
Right. But listen,
I've probably been mentally ill. And mentally ill longer than you've been walking the face of the earth.
All right. But are you taking your medication?
No.
Huh?
All right. You got to take your meds. Take your medication.
Take my meds.
Take them.
I get pissed off.
Well, go get them adjusted and take them and talk to counselors and therapists. And please, I like the happy mentally ill. But
we don't have those anymore.
They're all angry.
Yeah.
What about the ones that thought they were Napoleon?
You just take a big butterfly.
Chase them with the butterfly net.
That's what you do at that time. But those don't exist anymore.
All right. Anderson wants me to go back one more time.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, how can the mentally ill be happy when everything's negative about it? Huh? Answer me that.
The negative stereotypes about the mentally ill that's being perpetuated on the show.
There was that wonderful
spectrum of it.
Do me a favor. Would you get in touch with an organization called the National Depressive American? No, I want to talk to them.
Would you, Drew? How many times you got to do this goddamn show that you don't understand that when I put someone on hold, you're still talking to them, and they never get back to you.
Ask her if she knows the
sort of. You're giving her a number. Go ahead.
The National Depressive Man Depressive Association. The website is ndmda.org. If she has a computer access, which I don't know,
she work in a computer.
She may have access. I'm going to speak to her. I can find out.
You did not want to ask her that.
I don't have manic depression. I have schizoaffective disorder,
which is
a lot different.
Okay, listen to me.
Like schizoaffective.
Listen, you've got to be willing to accept help from people who are trying to help you. First of all, now listen.
Listen.
It's the ndmda.org.
That's right. Don't put her on hold.
It's regarding all affective disorders, including schizoaffective, bipolar, unipolar depressions.
Listen,
and they are very fine.
Do you have a crayon? Are you writing this down?
ndmda.org.
All right. Listen, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell like, I'm going to go to hell.
I blame Anderson.
I'm going to go to hell, and they're going to open a hatch and go, no. You don't think we got a basement? You don't think we got something
right
here?
You're the only caller who came back four times, so that should say something positive about the mentally ill.
That's right. No, we got to go to break. Listen. I love you. I love you. Do you hear that?
Yeah, I do.
All right, good. I do, and I want you to have a good life. And I want you to take your medications, and I want you to have a good life.
Right idea, didn't he?
No, absolutely not.
For you.
Absolutely not. No. That is not the way.
You take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah,
Because
then you'd be rid of all of us nuts, and...
Nobody wants to be rid of you.
Why are you projecting?
Yeah, nobody wants to be rid of you at all.
Like, why are you projecting all that onto us? So anyway,
I did not.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, just think.
I bet you're hot.
If you have mentally ill people,
yeah.
I mean, just think of how many people all over the world would be out of jobs. Counselors, therapists, like
kind. That's right.
Should we acquiesce to the fact that we agree with you?
Huh?
I don't even know what that word is.
Asking if I agree.
No, I don't know what he's talking
about.
Don't.
We agree with you. Will you acknowledge that we agree with you?
Huh?
Will you acknowledge that we agree with you?
Yes,
all right, that's good enough. Fantastic. Finally, Common Ground. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey. Close the line, back. Eric Balfour, our guest. 6 feet under. I bet he wishes he was 8 feet under now.
No. We just found some common ground in the other room. I was on the phone with her.
Both big fans of 24.
Yes. Me and her are going to start a telethon for the mentally ill, and it's going to be really good.
Hey, listen, she has a point. What's difficult is that she makes you angry.
This is our last caller before we went away for break. Eric was speaking to her on the phone during the whole time. You going to swing by her place on the way home?
No, but we've just found a common ground with each other. I'm neurotic and a little compulsive, and she's psychotic.
You'd be happier, though, with her as your neighbor instead of that jackass 40-year-old.
Oh, absolutely.
Poser guy, right?
At least I can understand where she's coming from.
Right. Yeah, you make some sense out of her actions. All right. Let's, Amanda?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Hi.
What's up?
I was wondering if you guys think that this guy likes me. He flirts with me all the time, and I'm really good friends with him. And he kissed me on the cheek when we went bowling the other weekend,
mm-hmm.
but he hits on my friend that we hang out with too. We hang out like every weekend, but
he
just one of those guys.
He may like both of you. He may like you and use the other girl to you know,
and
stay aloof.
May have other friends around that he kisses on the cheek and things and flirts with.
Well, he doesn't though. Like, we're really good friends. We talk. He calls, like, for the past 2 weeks. He's been calling me on the phone every night.
Ooh,
and like. Mm-hmm. He makes it seem like he likes me, but then, like, I kind of feel like I'm just, like, one of the other, like, one of the guys, you know?
How old is he?
Hmm?
How old is he?
He's saying he doesn't, he just turned 18.
What if you asked him out?
Oh, I don't think so.
Right.
How is it that you guys began hanging out in the first place?
Well, I was friends with, like, this group of guys because their friend died, and I was there for them, you know. And then they all kind of screwed me over really bad.
What does that mean?
They all betrayed me. They all lied to me and, like, just treated me like crap. They wouldn't really treat me like a good friend, you know.
Hey, Amanda?
Yeah?
Yeah. You sound like you've been hurt more than once in your short life.
Yeah.
All right. That's got to stop.
I'm afraid to, like, get close to guys now, but, like, I'm really comfortable with him.
All right. Well, look, you ask him out then. And just say, look, you want to go bowling this weekend, just me and you?
Yeah.
And if he says yes, he's into you. And if he's not, he's not.
He makes
not
excuses.
He makes excuses.
Remember, not whether he says yes or no. It's does he go or does he not go? Bottom line.
Right. Well, the yes part you can listen to. Yeah. But no one ever says no. They just don't. It doesn't happen.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. All right, we're out of time. This chick's been on hold for 60 minutes. She's going bald. Come on, tell her what to do real fast.
Hey, Melissa?
Yes?
Is that a spot that you're sort of scratching on?
It starts out like a really small one, but it's not itchy.
But are you pulling at it?
No, not at all.
Have you seen a dermatologist about this?
Excuse me?
Have you seen a dermatologist about this?
No, but I went to the doctor, and they said it was, like, from stress.
Yeah, it's alopecia. Mm. Alopecia areata, it's called. And you can have a steroid injection into the scalp. Sometimes that makes it come back a little quicker.
All right. I want to thank Eric Balford for coming in here. 6 Feet Under, everyone. Sunday nights, HBO, 9:30 and 9 o'clock on 24 on Fox. See that. And thanks, Eric.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
And until next time, Santa Parola for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
Now listen.
Hey,
listen.